as the reason for a foreign adventure, since all countries have economic, political, or social problems at a given moment. Authoritarian rule in Venezuela provides a convenient, well-used pretext for U.S. action. Maduro's regime is illegitimate. Venezuela's oil wealth can be taken. Drug cartels in Mexico, Colombia, and elsewhere can be put on notice. Yet in this instance, Wag the Dog can't be dismissed. Not that Trump had the idea of invading Venezuela as a diversion all along. It may only have occurred to him in the last few days as bad news piled up and began to seem insurmountable. We can speculate that the failure to bury the Epstein files is a tipping point. I've got to do something that takes attention away from those files, Trump may be thinking. Otherwise, the 2026 elections are lost, not to mention my presidency. If nothing else, this might be a good time to take another look at Wag the Dog. Its relevance never seems to end. I'm Mil Gertal for The Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with breaking news, stories, or tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem and Mel Gertov. The producer and engineer is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Brian Bull, Edwin J. Vieira, and Crystal Blair. The director of the Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast for the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/evening news. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Danny Shy.
And I'm Dave Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned for Coast Range Radio. It's an interview with the mayor of Newport, Oregon, about her town resistance to the potential siting of an ICE facility.
You're listening to Coast Range Radio. I'm Michael Gaskill. So by now, many, if not most of you, have heard that ICE has been secretly planning to build some sort of jail or detention facility in Newport, here on the Oregon coast. The community pushback has been immediate, fierce, inspiring, and seemingly successful, at least so far. But this is a developing story, and only one skirmish in a wider war to protect our communities from these masked, lawless thugs. The Newport City Council has been proactive, out front, and clear in their staunch opposition to ICE. So I invited Newport Mayor Jan Kaplan on the show to talk through what's going on with the facility proposal, the huge groundswell of resistance, and what comes next. Because this is a developing story, like I said, I want to note that this interview was recorded on the morning of November 17th. My email is coastrangeradio@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, guest ideas, all of that. Okay, Mayor Jan Kaplan, welcome to Coast Range Radio.
Thank you, Michael. I'm really pleased to be here. Look forward to what we can discuss today.
We have some pretty serious stuff to talk about, so let's jump right in. What is your understanding of the makeshift prison or detention facility that ICE seems to be planning or at least considering in Newport? Like, what would that facility look like and what would the purpose be for with what you know?
Michael, we know very, very little that is with certainty, and that's not the way one would start a relationship. And all that we know is coming through third parties. ICE has not given us the courtesy and respect as a local government to inform us of their plans. And so we've had to piece together based on their seeking to, through a third party, I might add, that they've never directly asked us anything, but through a third party to lease land to, we know that they have attempted to contract out for the removal of thousands of pounds of human waste per week, which gives us some sense of what the size of this might be. It takes a lot of humans to create thousands of pounds of human waste. It would appear to be a detention facility. That seems to be the local belief, but it could be a processing center. We don't know. But it seems to be something fairly large. Best estimates that people have kind of come to based on what I've just talked about would be hundreds of people, 100, 200, 300, you know, probably not thousands of people, but pretty big.
Yeah. Wow. Really scary stuff. And yes. I mean, unfortunately, not shocking at all that, you know, ICE feels like they're operating above the law and doesn't need to be talking to anybody about or explaining themselves to anyone. So you already touched on the opacity of the situation and how little information you all have had to go on. Walk me through the timeline of events, not necessarily every play-by-play, but the big points from where you all first had any inkling that something like this might be happening up to today, because I know this is a developing situation still.
Well, again, based on best guessing on our part and our partner's part, but around October 31st, suddenly the search and rescue helicopter, Coast Guard helicopter located at the Newport Airport was gone. This is a incredibly critical piece of for our community of fishing and surfing and recreational use of the ocean community, as well as the extended Oregon coast. So that was like, whoa. A day or two after that, we received a letter of intent from a third party company seeking to lease 4 acres of land at our airport. For an unnamed federal agency, a person to be named later. And that again got us, whoa, okay, here, you know, we something's going. We contacted our congressional delegation, state representatives, governor's office, everybody we could to try to, because nobody could get any information. And had began having meetings with state representatives and congressional representatives, our local partners. This affects the county, it affects the port, it affects our fishermen. Made a decision that something that the city of Newport does not do is that we don't release information that we are not absolutely certain is true and that we have backup. But we, given, because by this point, myself, my city councilors, our city administration, our partners were receiving phone calls as people, this community was buzzing. And we felt that we had to release what we knew, what we didn't know, so that at least people had some information. So we began to do that on sometime around November 10th. And at the same time that we felt like we needed to hear from the community, and we scheduled that special meeting that we held on November 12th. Since then, they've retracted, they recalled the letter of intent. And the other thing that had occurred just in that time period was that we became aware that there was advertising on help wanted on the internet for detention. And that's why we tend to believe it's a detention center. They were advertising for detention guards.
Yeah, pretty clear cut right there.
You don't usually put them in McDonald's.
Right.
So that also, following the special meeting that we held, those ads appeared to come down. But we're like hunting for anything we can. So that's where we are now.
Okay. So since that meeting, or like over the weekend, nothing has changed, or have there been any new developments?
Nothing new that to my awareness has changed. We're having a meeting later. We are having intergovernmental kinds of meetings going on. So we're all trying to keep each other up to speed.
Right. And I should remind listeners, I mentioned this in the intro, but we're recording this interview on Monday, November 17th, just to timestamp it in case, you know, something comes out later this afternoon or whatever.
could send an aircraft carrier.
Well, I want to talk to you more about this particular side note later, but you know, I'm sure this is what you got into volunteer governance for, is to deal with major national issues of, you know, masked agents on the street. I'm sure you thought that's what you were signing up for. So going back to the main point, has ICE said anything publicly? And to my knowledge, they haven't said much, but why do you think that they are being so tight-lipped about this?
ICE has said virtually nothing to us about what they're going to do, and which puts us in the position of as a local government with limited resources. And as you noted, and I appreciate your noting that, I'm a volunteer. The city council is a volunteer. We're all working our tails off right now. I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that I volunteered for this. It wasn't in the job description. But I'm glad that I and the colleagues, folks that I work with on the city council, are extraordinary people, dedicated, kind of contrary to what one sees around the country. And we can disagree with each other and frequently do. But when it comes down to everything, we are all, and I have trust in each other, that everybody's trying to do the best we can for the city that we live in. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the pleasures of when one volunteers for something is, God, I'm working with these people I probably would not have, some of whom I would never have known. And I'm so glad that I know them. They're so great.
One of the reasons I asked you about, you know, your opinion, why you think that they are being so opaque about this, is I think from my view, it's really telling how silent they are being. You know, it's an indication. I think that no matter what political party you're affiliated with, or if you're not affiliated with a political party, you know, we can all agree that government should be transparent, especially when they're trying to come into a community and do something of this nature. It should be open and collaborative, and should incorporate the feedback of the local community, mm-hmm. instead of acting like we don't have to answer to anyone. And I think that that's something that I would hope, you know, whoever you vote for or don't vote for, you can agree with those principles. But if you have any more to say to that, feel free.
Yeah, the one thing, and again, I've seen this, that doing this in the way that they have, and one has to assume that there's some competence and thoughtfulness in what they do.
Well, I wouldn't assume competence. No, sorry. Go ahead.
If I wanted to scare the heck out of a community, the people that live there, this is exactly what I would do. Ferment rumors, refuse to answer them, be a mysterious behind the screen. And that as I look at how DHS, ICE have operated largely, it's random acts of aggression and violence in our communities, blaming it on our communities. And there are types of people who do that. And I'm not sure that I want to use what the term of that is. But someone who's trying to make me feel terrorized.
Yeah.
And have done that to our community, our community. And I've seen this all over the country.
Yeah. You know,
make us safe by scaring the heck out of us? I don't think so.
I think that is an excellent point. Thank you for making that. And, you know, fortunately, I have seen the opposite effect, you know, a community really coming together and galvanized by this. And I want to ask you about that, the city council meeting, you know, what you've been hearing from folks, kind of across the spectrum. But first, talk to me about some of your specific concerns about why you and the rest of the city council are opposing this potential jail facility. You know, you mentioned the helicopter situation. I think that's worth expanding on a little bit. Environmental implications, harm to the community and tourism. Just what are your concerns?
Well, starting with our search and rescue helicopter, which as you I'm sure know, back in 2014, the Coast Guard removed or was attempting to remove that based on budget. This community rose up, raised funds for hiring attorneys by private citizens, And long story short, ended up winning. It was a long battle because we're a fishing community. That's the heart, or a big part of the heart of Newport. And and Newport was also one of the first places, if not the originator of surfing on the Oregon coast. It's a huge surfing. I used to live in Otter Rock, which is and when I first moved to Oregon, and where a lot of surfing occurred. And one of the activities in Otter Rock was when you heard the Coast Guard helicopter overhead, you ran out to look over the cliff to see who they were saving. And that was a regular occurrence. So losing the search and rescue from the, you know, which doesn't make any sense from a Homeland Security point of view. We're the only airport on the coast that's above the tsunami inundation zone. There's nothing that makes sense around this.
Yeah, talk about keeping communities safe right there. You know,
yeah.
We got the largest fishing fleet in Oregon, got the OSU research fleet. You know,
yes.
As other people have pointed out, if this decision stands, people will die because of it.
Absolutely. Then 40 to 50 to 60 times a year that those search and rescue operations occur. We lose enough people. It's a terrible impact on our community when we lose fishermen. It's an incredible impact on that very, very tight-knit community, the fishing community, who I observe someone from the outside, but my God, you know, that's a very tight community. When they lose somebody, as they do several, often more than once a year, for that number to go up, that's nothing. There's nothing that is worth the life of a fisherman. And it's just callous. Facility the size of what, moving on in terms of why do we oppose it? One, we're a representative government that listens to our folks. And we had over 800 people in a town of 11,000 show up at City Hall. The 95, 96, I'm sure there were some folks who were not in agreement, you know, who would say, well, bring them in. But I don't think anybody was there that said, you know, we don't need a helicopter. It also could potentially, if one were going to put in a facility like this, you'd think that there would be some kind of an environmental impact analysis. Now, the intent letter of intent that we received from this third party indicated that their hope and intention was to have a facility up and running on December 1st. That left less than a month to do. Apparently, they were not going to do any environmental impact analysis, and that's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least not they can't tell us, and we're guessing, but that should have been done. And then the stress that this would put on our systems, again, the same administration which has not risen to assist in any way our city, which has an aging water infrastructure that we're having to replace, both in terms of the people know about the dam, but our water treatment facilities, our stormwater, it's old. And to put more stress on that from someone who doesn't want to belly up is just unconscionable. And other reasons, again, interesting to me, we received, last count, it was getting close to 250 emails to the city council, of which 97% were opposed to this facility. More than half of those came from people around the state. Many of them saying, and I would treat it as in support of what we hope to do, but people saying, if this happens, I will never spend another dollar in court. The economic impact of putting this facility here, people saying, I would be afraid to have my children walking in your streets. And I think with good reason, but why would you do that in a town that produces the kind of seafood that we produce? From there's a presidential directive back in April that spoke to needing to preserve and grow our seafood resources in this country. This would hurt us. Would hurt the country.
Right.
We're a major source of seafood.
I mean, what's it going to do to have ICE operating full time in Newport, to the hospitality industry?
Yes.
To the fishing fleet, to the processing plants.
Yes.
I mean, You know, we see ICE up in Hillsboro, you know, surrounding teenagers at a fast food restaurant with pulling guns on them. You know, like, what, that's not going to happen in Newport. So, yeah, I wouldn't blame anyone for being scared to visit Newport. And yeah, so that would just decimate the economy from basically every angle.
Exactly. So why would we oppose it? It's where ICE goes, violence seems to occur, and then they blame it on the community they're in. We had 850 folks at City Hall. They filled the City Hall chambers to capacity. They filled the halls of City Hall. We had monitors out there, filled that to capacity. We opened up the recreation center, filled two large rooms at the recreation center. And then there were people who were still outside on the lawn in the rain who just were not leaving.
That's incredible.
Absolutely peaceful. Absolutely people treating each other with respect and kindness, which is what living here is about. And just think about losing that in terms of what we've seen in other communities. It's thoughtless. It's abhorrent. And we will fight for that.
So tell me more about that council meeting last week. I mean, how did it make you feel to see so many people turning out?
I'm an emotional kind of guy. So as I get older, my wife says I cry more. It was inspirational. It was inspirational to be part of this kind of community, to say, that's why I do this. That's why I want to, that's why I choose to live here. That's why I've remained here. I love this town, and people do, and with a passion, and they care for each other. They come out when there's something that's going to be harmful to this community. They come out, they listen to each other. They, you know, and there isn't an amount of money that is worth the life of a fisherman, period. And I think that's how our community felt. That's as well as the fact that our community includes our immigrants. We value our immigrants. I know that these are the people that work in the fish plants, work on the fishing boats, are professionals in our community as well. And somebody pointed that out. We tend to think of our immigrants as the people who do the low level, but we have professionals here too. So that came across, I think, in our city council. The most moving part was we had a young lady. There's been one person taken from Newport. And it was, again, a hardworking guy supporting a family. But his young daughter, who was, I don't know how old she was, I guess 14 or 15, got up and spoke. It was incredibly moving. And what a courageous young lady. The support that she received from the whole room was phenomenal. You know, we care about each other in Newport. And that's what came across in the city council meeting.
Well, that's really moving. Thank you. And I was not able to be there, but I was so inspired to see that turnout.
Yeah, I'd also mention that we're aware that there were hundreds, and it's hard to figure out, especially for an old guy like me, but clue that there were hundreds of folks online, not all on the screen, but watching on Facebook, on Granicus, that's in addition to the number of people. People care, really, really, really care about it.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens next, and how should people stay up to date on developments?
Great question, Michael. Again, we don't know what they will do next, because they don't talk to us. We know what we will do next, which is that we are meeting with communicating and coordinating with our local partners, the county, the port, fishermen's wives, the public, our congressional delegation, our state representatives. Representative Gomberg has been right there for everything that we've done, and we're so grateful that he represents us. Senator Anderson is indicating support for what we're doing. So we're covering him. We have we're talking with the governor's office, the attorney general's office, emergency management, because again, the removal of this helicopter is a critical piece of infrastructure in terms of an emergency. So we are continuing those conversations, sharing information. If and when, as we as a city get any solid information or development, we will be doing press releases. We have a great communications director who's in contact and spread, getting news out. And we're just going to continue. There was a commitment made that until we know that is definitely not happening, and until we know that we have our helicopter back, we are the city council and the city administration who really do the work. You know, we all do. We're a great team here, but we're fully committed to working on this and fighting this and being vigilant until we know that there's no reason to be. And so that what happens next, I don't know, but we're doing everything we can to be ready for them.
Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad you all are staying proactive about this. So aside from the proposed facility or jail, however you want to describe it, you briefly touched on this, but do you have a sense of what ICE activity has looked like in Newport and on the coast over the last few months?
I do. We've had, as I mentioned, we've only had one incident that we know of where someone was taken in the street, dragged out of their car. This is happening in America?
Right.
Is this normal? My God. Anyway, but we're seeing recently several people taken in Lincoln City. You mentioned Hillsborough, Salem, Eugene. They seem to be ramping up, and it seems one would think that an agency that would hope, one would hope, is Homeland Security. They should be have some sophistication, whose stated goal and mission is to remove the worst of the worst. There's no evidence that that's what's occurring. I read in the Times the other day that only about 40% of the people who they've detained had any kind of criminal history, and then about half of those were traffic incidents. You know, so if you give them the benefit of the doubt, we don't want people, you know, we don't want unauthorized people running red lights. But I don't think that's a reason to kick them out of the country.
Yeah, we should probably spend hundreds of billions of dollars on that every year, right?
Where's those when we need them?
Yeah.
This is what an incredible waste of dollars. And it's ramping up. I mean, they have recruited the one big beautiful bill included billions of dollars for new ICE and DHS agents, because there are a number of different agencies involved. So that's clearly ramping up, and we need to. It's just frightening. It's frightening what's happening in our communities.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like you mentioned, towns like Newport, rural areas are being left out to dry. You know, lack of federal funds to aid your infrastructure projects. On and on and on the list goes. So last question,
yes.
One more time. How do folks, you know, stay engaged on this or any other issues that you want to highlight?
We are doing everything we can to release information as we have it. People can check the city website. They can, our local, should mention that our, including yourself, that our local media have been incredible. Getting stories out almost on a daily basis, online and in print and on radio, and further on, you know, the coverage we get from metropolitan areas, but for a city of our size, that the kind of professionalism that I see in our local media, so that again, those are ways to keep up in touch and that people put information out. We will probably as we move forward and strategically. And we're at the beginning again of how do we fight something that is a bit amorphous. When we need to, we will be calling on the public, calling on folks to help in ways, because people say, how can I help? We'll, as there are ways, you know, some of those is writing, you know, keeping letters going, contacting congressional committees, contacting our, I think our own representatives, sometimes we take them for granted. As a representative, to hear from your constituents that they like what you're doing, that they support. We're very, very willing to tell us how we screwed up and what we're doing wrong. But it really means a lot, and it's motivating, and it keeps you going. When somebody says, thank you for doing that. We see you. That's a way that the community can support and keep us together. So I stay involved. We will, as we have actual tangible things that the public can do, we will be releasing that and encouraging it. And that's what we can do next, and to stay, keep an eye out. The fact that they took down the ad, or that they recalled the letter of intent, does not mean it's over. It just means that they recalled the letter of intent. Now another company or what? Until we know that this is not on, we're approaching this as we're under attack.
Absolutely, first battle won, but we don't know what's to come.
We're at war.
Well, Mayor Jan Kaplan, I am so appreciative that you took the time to talk with me today, and thank you and the entire Newport City Council for being so strong on this. Thank you for your work, and thank you for joining me on Coast Range Radio.
I appreciate it very much, Michael. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all the time we have for today on Coast Range Radio. We are an independent, volunteer-run show. You can find Coast Range Radio free and ad-free on all podcast apps, and you can follow us on Instagram if you're into that sort of thing. Thank you so much for listening. Let's make it through this together.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.